Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
absolutely,
if we're uncomfortable
absolutely
talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
This is What's Next. My name is Ekua Menzedu, your host, and we're joined with Ryan Zunner, our other host, and Michael Gaynor, who is running for the mayor of the city of Buffalo. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah,
really,
thanks for joining us,
opportunity
Michael
today. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to, you know, just kick it off. We want to get to know a little bit about you, right? We actually, before we started, we talked about this is your 20th year in Buffalo, right?
Yes, it is. November 1st, it'll be my 20th year anniversary. So
yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, how you came to Buffalo and your involvement in the community.
Yep. So I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I, at the time, was living in Boston, Massachusetts, and looking to be closer to home for a whole bunch of personal reasons, but came through Buffalo and was almost instantly captivated by the community, by the people, you know, a lot of the things that you hear from people, outsiders that come here and visit our city and say all the great things that they say about the spirit, about the architecture, about the neighborhoods. And I quickly discovered that. I landed at the airport and took the bus down Genesee Street and ended up at Spot Coffee on Chippewa. Found a local copy of the Art Voice and then just started walking streets and ended up in Allentown and on Elmwood and on Grant Street and Niagara and spent the whole day just basically on foot walking streets and talking to people. And, you know, it was amazing how captivated people would become as soon as they'd find out that you were thinking about moving to Buffalo. and to me, coming from Boston, like that spirit and that open-armed approach and feeling was something that I really was looking for. And I called my mom at the end of the day and I said, Mom, I'm moving to Buffalo. And she was like, don't say that until you're definitely moving there. Because I, you know, for, you know, probably 20 years before that, I'd moved all over the country. So this would be and has been the closest that I've been to home since I moved out when I was 17. So.
Mm-hmm. And to go from, you know, in 20 years, you know, falling in love with the city, mm-hmm. you know, being here, being involved in the community, to now wanting to lead mm-hmm. that community, right, as mayor. How did that transition start from, you know, your sort of community activism and involvement, mm-hmm. turning that into a run for elected office for mayor?
Well, you know, I didn't plan it, that's for sure. I haven't really been in politics, but I have been immersed in communities, and I really care deeply about my neighbors. I care a lot about, as an educator, our young people. I've been involved with education of young people, particularly the out-of-school population, for decades. I was involved in the founding of a school in Massachusetts, specifically focused on kids that are out of school and out of work, or that had dropped out, or been thrown out, or kicked out, or whatever. Folks that didn't fit the mold of our new modern educational paradigm. So I came here with that experience and that intention, which was to work specifically with young people that were out of school and out of work. And I quickly, very quickly, you know, you're taught, you know, in your experience in not-for-profits and in college that you're supposed to get to know a community and figure out what the needs are and then come up with a plan. Well, it didn't take long to do that. I walked into a city that had a dropout rate of nearly 50%, very few opportunities for young people, a system that very much pushes folks out and into the criminal justice system, and, you know, all honesty, when they drop out of school, when they're, you know, misguided and on our streets and trying to find a direction and support and coming up empty. So that became my focus. And I got on my bicycle and I rode around and I recruited 10 young people for a summer program that I started called Buffalo Youth Corps the first summer I was here. And we took 10 young people from the east and the west side down the Allegheny National Forest, and we did a bunch of work on trails and built new trails and built stone staircases and did maintenance on trails and gave young people some belief in themselves and some confidence that they could be in the driver's seat of their own life and hopefully the support to get over the hump that they were experiencing in their own neighborhoods and communities. So that's been my focus for a lot of my life coming here. At the same time, there was a competing challenge in the city of Buffalo that I was confronted with, which was then Mayor Brown's leading, well, he hadn't been mayor yet, but one of his campaign platforms was to tear down 10,000 houses in 10 years. And I had also been involved in the building trades in Massachusetts, and I started quickly scrawling some numbers on a napkin at Aroma Cafe, and I realized that we were looking at potentially $500 million in investment to throw a bunch of stuff into a hole. Meanwhile, I'm reading in the news about low-income folks that don't have the materials and the supplies that they need to fix up their homes, and I'm networking with housing court liaisons that are trying to keep people in their homes that are being pushed out by the system because they can't properly maintain them, because they don't have the resources, because they don't have the capital, because they don't have the equity in their homes in many of these communities, like so many of our other residents do. So that's where Buffalo Reuse, the idea of Buffalo Reuse was conceived. And we brought a consultant from Bellingham, Washington here, Dave Benick. And very quickly, we started salvaging houses and opened a little store downtown. And 2 years later, we had 22 employees and we're a massive service for the community, delivering low-cost building materials to the neighborhood and regenerating mostly east side neighborhoods, specifically in Maston Park and Cold Spring, with tree plantings and community gardens and community service and just a way to bring people together around a purpose, which was a purpose of support, a purpose of putting back something in our neighborhoods when so much was just constantly being taken away. Mm. And that's what started my career here in Buffalo. It evolved and changed over the years. And time again, I just found myself confronted with a lot of the, you know, the stark realities of political leadership and some of the harsh realities and difficulties with access and difficulties with transparency and difficulties with funding, and wondering, like, why was I meeting this type of opposition when I was leading a team of people committed to change, committed to being a voice, committed to service in our communities, and overwhelmingly having the door slammed in my face. And I just felt like we have to do better than this. Buffalo, I know, is better than this. You know, most recently with my involvement in the Eastside Parkways Coalition and experiencing some of our political frustrations on that front, I realized that, you know, this was my moment of obligation. Like, this is my time to, you know, convey my vision, my hopes, my belief in this city, and bring my problem-solving approach to government. And you know, it's worked for me over the years. I've been involved in the founding and startup of many businesses and many not-for-profit organizations. I've learned a lot over those years. I came here having never run a business of my own or never running a not-for-profit. So, you know, you have stumbles and bumbles along the way. But, you know, what we have demonstrated through our leadership and through our work is that when you have a committed, focused group of people that are determined to make things better for the people that live here and the youth that live here, that you can make immense changes with very few resources. And that's what I've been committed to for the last 20 years.
Yeah, you touched on the vacant home, vacant property issue that's plagued Buffalo for mm-hmm. years and years. And the city itself owns thousands of those properties. And,
thousands.
Yeah, and during the Brown administration, as you pointed out too, you know, the approach was to knock them down, but then not necessarily build anything. There were some, you know, programs set up to build some houses, right? Mm-hmm. But a large majority still remain vacant.
Correct.
How do you transfer that experience that you learn in Buffalo Reuse, trying to activate communities? How do you transfer that into then in the mayor's office and sort of the citywide mission with that?
Yeah. Well, the vacant lot issue and vacancy in general is a big part of our challenge here in the city. We have a population that's about half of what it was in 1950 when the majority of the city was constructed. And that presents a lot of challenges. We have a city footprint that supports a city of 600 to a million people, and we have a tax base of 250,000 people. So what that demands is that we're creative in our approach. It demands that we are systematic in how we do things, and we are collaborative in our vision. And instead of, you know, trying to scrap around for crumbs, we need to think about every day how to build a bigger pie, a bigger cake. How do we create and leverage the assets and resources that we have here to do the greatest good? Now, we're not going to fix every neighborhood, or we may not even fix every pothole, you know, we can try. But we have to think about and be strategic about our investments so that where we are investing and where we are strengthening, we're creating long-term economic benefits. We're creating a system and a structure and an infrastructure for local hiring and training and community development and economic development that shares with a larger community outside of Buffalo and to the population here that this is a place that you want to do business. This is a place where you want to raise your family. This is a place where you want to live and contribute and invest. And I think that, you know, a lot of what I've seen, particularly on the east side, is, you know, scattershot development, and you don't really feel that sense of community. You don't really feel that sense of connection, that vibrancy, that investment and hope for something greater. And I think that when we're looking at a city that has a large footprint and has fewer people, we have to be strategic in our approach, and we have to leverage all of our existing resources and assets here to get things done. And I think that we've really dropped the ball in terms of that long-term thinking and that long-term strategy. Over the years, obviously, the construction of the Kensington Expressway, the stadium out in Orchard Park, the campus of, you know, UB out in North Buffalo. Like, think about the impact that just one of those things would have had on the larger community and what that community really looked like had we made a different decision. It's why I've invested so heavily into the expressway, because of my time and my resources, because I don't want my daughter looking back on this decision and saying, now we're stuck with this, you know, and look at the challenges it presents. Look at the cost that it takes to maintain it. Like, we have to have this holistic, big picture thinking in every decision that we make. We do not have resources to waste. We need to be wise and strategic and thoughtful about every penny.
And so I just want to ask you, because, you know, we're in wintertime, it's cold outside, people have been talking a lot about, you know, snow removal and potholes, and mm-hmm. you had mentioned, you know, obviously there's a limited resources in terms of how you navigate where those resources go. And so I'm interested in just hearing a little bit about, you know, with that pie that we currently mm-hmm. have, you know, what would be your approach and how would you decide what to go after first?
Right. Well, the first thing is to do a in-depth analysis of every department at the city. How many people work there? What is their budget? What are their outcomes? What are their goals? What are their shortcomings? Because we need to be really transparent and really honest with where the city is at. And I think a lot of the reason why we're in the financial crisis is because we just kept kicking the can down the road. And a lot of things got put on the shelf, and a lot of things weren't addressed, and a lot of things weren't examined thoroughly. and weren't given the attention and the due diligence that they needed. And what has suffered is our culture. Our culture at City Hall and our culture at the neighborhood level, because there just isn't a really defined vision for our future. So I think that, you know, where I start is with a thorough examination of where every one of those departments are. And, you know, really a listening tour from each of those employees and hearing from people that have been contributing. And, you know, there's a lot of lifelong public servants that have wisdom and experience and insight into the political process. I'm not going to go in there on day one and fire everybody and assume that I've got all the answers. I think that there is a lot of wisdom that we need to extract from that process. But we have to also acknowledge that things, the way that we have been doing things for the last 20 years don't work and aren't working, and we have to do better. And that is going to take some hard decisions and a hard commitment. I think that where I start is with little things that make very tangible impacts in the local neighborhood. As part of Buffalo Reuse, we started a little project 2 years ago. It was called the Sunfields of Buffalo Project, and we did it again last year, and we planted fields of sunflowers on Jefferson Avenue. We didn't solve poverty. We didn't solve homelessness. We didn't create jobs. But what we did do is change the feeling, particularly around the Tops Market on Jefferson, where our community experienced the horrific shooting 2 years ago. Massacre, slaughter of innocent people. And I think that it was an opportunity to do something that communicated that we care, that we see you, that we can empathize with your pain and your struggle. And I haven't been here my whole life. I've only been here 20 years, but these are my neighbors, and I empathize with the struggle. And I have even experienced in small ways how people that live on the East Side struggle and have struggled for the last 40 or 50 years. And I think that to do tangible things that make an impact make immense difference in the lives of everyday people. And they communicate a desire and a sincere care and a hope for people's futures. I went out and bought a little John Deere lawn tractor. And I put a plow on it, and I started plowing the sidewalks in my neighborhood. And there's been a lot of conversation about sidewalk clearing. They're like, I've had a lot of detractors say, oh, you can't think about sidewalks until you think about streets. Let's focus on the streets. Well, streets too. Okay, but there's a lot of people that don't have cars. One out of four people in the city don't have cars. They rely on our public transportation system. They rely on our street infrastructure. They rely on bicycles and be able to move safely on our sidewalks. And when the city of Buffalo is the largest landowner on the east side of Buffalo, we have a responsibility to those residents. You can't come and find someone because they're not clearing the snow, or find a business because they're not clearing the snow, and then have the next six lots be owned by the city of Buffalo that are completely impassable. Like, we have to figure out a way to do that. And I have a plan for doing that. We're gonna train young people, and they're gonna do some of the things that are due diligence as a city, but we're gonna surround them with public servants that know what they're doing and have been in those roles for years. And we're going to empower them with skills and experience and knowledge to go out and care for people. It will be a job of purpose where they'll work 3 to 4 days a week, plowing snow on our streets, doing safety inspections on vacant properties, looking at light posts. You know, you look at the things that, as a self-insured entity here in the city of Buffalo, that we are spending millions of dollars on because we are paying and settling out because of our own negligence. And it's not, there's no ill intent. It's just a lack of resources. But that's why the burden of responsibility is on us to connect the dots. We have a lot of young people that want to contribute, but they need mentors. They need support. They need Murray Holman's and the Stop Violence Coalition. Their allies, their mentors, showing them a better way, a way to connect, a way to contribute, a way to be of service. And we can do that as a leader in city government and address some of the most critical needs that are address our quality of life in our urban neighborhoods. And I think that this is the type of strategic creative thinking that we need to bring. We have an educational department, City Hall. We have a public works department, right? We have a housing department and a department of permits and inspections. And we're all working, they're all working in silos. But there is opportunity, right, for people to think outside of the box and to come together to solve problems in a creative way. But you need a leader that's willing to make those calls and bring people to the table to think about a better way. And that's what I've been doing for 20 years in Buffalo. I came here, lots of houses being torn down. You know, you're taking stuff out of the community. Let's put stuff back. So we put back stores and we put back training programs and we put back, you know, educational programs and we put back investment. You know, we started the Foundry and a small business incubator on the east side because people needed a space to work. They needed a space to collaborate. They needed a space to tinker and play with ideas. And the Foundry was that. It was a communal space that created connection. And we need more of that in our neighborhoods, connection. And I moved down the street and we started another reuse store and the Guild at 980, which is a kind of a middle layer incubator for small businesses. So there you have designers and you have makers and you have artists and you have people that are involved in the architectural trades, all collaborating under one roof. We have over 50 businesses at the Guild. And so it's been that approach, that big picture thinking about how we can connect the dots and do more with less to solve the most pressing challenges of our time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you had mentioned earlier around, I actually work right off of Jefferson and Utica, so I remember seeing those sunflowers over there on the way to work. And so, you know, a big part of being mayor of Buffalo is relationship building, right? And I want to kind of get your sense and your take on, you know, how would you approach that, right? Mm-hmm. How would you approach relationship building and maybe talk a little bit about the community engagement side of that as well?
Yeah, and I think that that's a big part of, that's been a big part of my frustration over the years is the lack of community engagement. And I think that a lot of folks, you know, I was at a meeting on Jefferson Avenue. There was some money coming through the state, you know, to do storefront and, you know, capital investment and stabilization work on the Jefferson corridor. And, you know, the businesses and the people that live there feel like they're always the last to find out about what's actually happening at City Hall. And I think that, you know, I feel that pain, you know, I feel that frustration as I think a lot of people feel like these plans are created behind closed doors and dropped in their lap. And because there's some money on the table that they should immediately embrace them. And what we learned through the Kensington example is that it's not just about the money. It is about, you know, the outcome. Like, what is it this project going to mean? And engaging with the community. There was just a project, I think it was Family Promise, a homeless shelter on East Ferry, project that, you know, and full disclosure, our community really needs. We need homeless places for families to establish, you know, a foothold, you know, to get stable, to get settled, and in places where they can have children and it can be a whole family unit. And that project was rejected by the community. And it was rejected for a bunch of different reasons. It was rejected predominantly because here is this big plan and drawings and it's being presented after basically all the T's have been crossed and the dots have been dotted. And then we come to the community and we sell this project to them, as opposed to having a conversation before we engage architects and designers, before we get further down the road, before real estate's involved. You know, we're seeing the same thing with the Braemiller Market, right? You know, it's like, let's engage with the community first. Okay, the business closed. There's now not a grocer in downtown Buffalo. So how do we deal with this in the short term? What are the most pressing needs for this community? And then how do we make that happen? And instead, you know, there was a conversation to move B District police station there. And then the food security becomes an afterthought. You know, it's like, oh, well, maybe we can figure that out in the context of this other need. No, let's start with what the needs of the community are. Let's engage the community first, and then we'll figure out how to make all things happen.
And we're going to take a short break. This is What's Next. We are here talking to Michael Gaynor, who is running for the mayor of the city of Buffalo. We'll be right back.
Our mission at Buffalo Toronto Public Media is to serve our local community. And on WBFO, we do that by keeping you informed. We bring you important perspectives from your neighbors on what's next.
It's cultural heritage tourism. People go and they travel different places to learn about history and live experiences that only took place in that area. Oftentimes you may have people in certain positions that don't understand the value of cultural heritage tourism.
And we investigate issues in our community, such as racial disparities and traffic stops.
The data breakdown by council district shows that black people are stopped disproportionately to their population in all 9 districts. Lovejoy District leads the pack in terms of those disproportionate stops. Just 37% of the district's population is black, yet black motorists account for almost 70% of stop receipts issued there.
This is Public Media.
This is Jack Cruiser with The Scoreboard on WBFO. Listen during Morning Edition and All Things Considered each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the latest on pro matchups and college rivalries, as well as standout local athletes from Western New York and Southern Ontario. Want more? Listen to a longer version of The Scoreboard at WBFO.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
This is What's Next. My name is Akua Menzedu, and I'm here with Ryan Zunner, our other guest host. And we're here talking to Michael Gaynor, who is running for the mayor of the city of Buffalo. And so, Michael, you started to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that face our city currently. We talked about some of the budget deficits, you know, and the challenges on specific sides of our community. And I just want to hear a little bit more about, you know, your vision, but then also, what do you think the top 3 challenges are facing Buffalo today? And, you know, how would you specifically address those?
Yeah, that's great. I think one of the greatest challenges is just making sure, first of all, that we have a unified and focused approach at City Hall and coordination amongst all of our entities and all of our departments and all of our divisions that are doing work, because I think that that's going to take the greatest investment of our time. And it's something that's going to take the most concerted effort and focus. And it's a heavy lift, to be, you know, honest. There's hundreds of employees at the City Hall, and to get everybody kind of working and heading in the right direction with a focus and with a intention that, you know, is in alignment with, you know, what our vision is for the future of Buffalo. I think that's a place to start. The financial budget is a big one. And because we vote with, you know, how our spending priorities. And, you know, my focus tends to be about investment at a community level, and about building community capacity, about community wealth, about community economies and strength. And I think that you know, that needs to be a priority in how we focus and prioritize our spending at the city level. And that's again going to take a hard look to figure out how we best coordinate our resources to fulfill the vision that we have for Buffalo. there, I could pick apart the budget all day long. But there are certain inequities that exist in the budget that we need to address. There are inequities in our property tax structure that were realities that have come about since the 2009 reassessment, where we have some of the highest income streets and neighborhoods in our city that are paying less than they had in previous years. And that's something that needs to be addressed. Some of our largest commercial landowners, National Fuel, Verizon, they are also paying less in taxes than they had in previous years. So we need to examine that tax code because, you know, we do need to make some significant changes to our tax code, but we need to do it in a way that doesn't disproportionately burden people that are already, you know, having a difficult time. So I'm going to look at that. But we're also going to look at department-wide, again, trying to figure out ways to solve problems with existing resources. You know, we put a lot of pressure on permits and inspections, but there's a lot of buildings and there's a lot of commercial clients and there's a lot of demands put on their time and they have a finite budget as well. So we need to figure out a way that we can have an accounting of our rental properties to make sure that people have access to not just affordable but safe housing. We have to look at ways that we can inventory our vacant properties. You know, on my street on Northampton, there are 8 or 10 properties that have been vacant for the last 18 or 20 years since I've lived in Maston Park. They pay their taxes. They minimally maintain those properties, but there is no movement. There's no energy or activity to bring those houses online, those rental units online, and to improve the overall quality of life in our neighborhood. You know, a vacant house detracts from the quality of life of our neighborhoods. And it's a safety concern, and those are things that we need to look at. So we have to look at how we can fill some of those gaps. You know, there's some innovative programs out there where local fire departments and fire employees are involved in doing assessments and inspections on vacant properties. And they have a very important interest in that. They are the ones that are called to those vacant properties if there's a fire. And it's in their best interest to know what's going on there and what the needs are of that community. But again, it takes an approach of figuring out a way to connect the dots and find solutions to these problems, you know, without spending a lot more money. So that's a big thing. We have to do an analysis of all of our departments so that we can do more with the same budget. You know, I can talk about overtime for sure, but I can also talk about culture and our due diligence and about promoting a culture of safety and care in our neighborhoods. You know, we've seen in just the last 4 years, two very significant accidents that are affecting the bottom line of this city. Payouts and settlements in upwards of $30 million. And those unfortunate accidents are costing the city right now $750,000 a month for one incident. And we're probably gonna have a very similar settlement for the young boy that was backed over by a sanitation truck last fall. So, you know, that's the one budget item this year that is over budget to the tune of several million dollars is settlements for lawsuits. Another gentleman was hit by a light pole that fell on his head and created spinal damage and head trauma and things like that. So again, we're a self-insured entity. We need to figure out ways that we are covering our bases, addressing serious quality of life and due diligence concerns with the resources that we have. And we can do that. We have to mobilize some new things and we have to make you know, some creative decisions. But I do believe that we have the capacity. That's the first thing, is our due diligence and our responsibility to our citizens and our responsibility to our staff at City Hall. The second is quality of life in our urban neighborhoods education, and economic development. And I'm putting them all together because they are not siloed entities. They're things that should be they should be considered all together. You know, when we invest in our neighborhoods, we need to create vibrant economic areas that that provide educational opportunities. Like, we all love the idea of a community school, right? But it has to happen in the context of local community investment and equitable school funding and school financing. And mentoring and training and support, not just for our young people, but for our business community. And for if we can coordinate that effort, and we can do that because we have a vibrant economic community here in Buffalo. We have business leaders. We have a strong university sector. And they want to contribute. We have a strong philanthropic community. They want to invest, but they're not going to do it haphazardly. They're not going to just write blank checks. They need to believe in a vision, and they need to believe in and have confidence in the leadership that is at the table. Proven leadership that can make things happen, that can roll up, you know, sleeves and can get things done. So our communities and the quality of life in our communities is number two for me, because I just believe in our capacity to serve young people. I believe that all communities have the right to dignity and have the right to safety and have the right to education. And that if we can make those strategic investments, that we will start to address poverty in our community. But we have to have that intent. We have to have that will. We have to bring people to the table because with that shared purpose and that shared vision.
Towards the end of the last segment, you know, you talked about Bray Miller Market and sort of like food insecurity and access, mm-hmm. right? You know, food insecurity was a big topic, you know, in the wake of the Tops shooting and everything like that. How can the mayor's office under your leadership, how can the city help that community in such a needed area such as food access?
Right. And I'll tell you, I've been to Detroit. And I'm inspired by the example of Detroit in so many different ways, because they're a city that's obviously way, way larger than the city of Buffalo, but they are confronted with a lot of the same challenges. And, you know, it brings up one of the biggest challenges in the city of Buffalo, which is we need to utilize one of our greatest assets, which is our land. You know, we have a tremendous land resource here, and we have a tremendous proximity resource here, being, you know, in proximity to clean energy and fresh water and a largely temperate climate and an educated workforce and amazingly designed architecture and infrastructure. We have all of this resource, right? But we're not leveraging it in the way that we can. And I spend so much time thinking about our land resource and creating, you know, an innovation center for growing. And there's great examples of this already happening on the east side. But think about now the Open Buffaloes, for example, their green innovation campus mm-hmm. that they're designing, right? Or think about the Growing Green folks and the potential, if they have the power of government and the power of resource and the power of that unified vision backed up by a willing and eager philanthropic community, you know, to do green innovation or do community supported agriculture on a large way. You know, I remember when I first moved to Buffalo, the struggle of the Wilson Street Farm to pry 20 vacant lots away from the city so that they could create an agriculture model. You know, we have the Groundworks Market Garden at Genesee and Leslie, right? Where they're growing on urban soil. Oh, well, it's contaminated. It's this and it's not safe. There are ways to mitigate, all right, our urban soils and to be creative about food production and about soil remediation. You can have container gardens. You can have greenhouse production. You can do all kinds of things. Drive north of the border, and from here to Toronto, you'll pass hundreds of greenhouse operations. Hundreds. They say, oh, you can't have greenhouses in this climate. It's too, you know, but we can. But we have to have an intention behind supporting community agriculture, about supporting community power, about building the capacity of these really amazing ideas that are already in our communities, you know, that just need access. They just need someone to help them open doors, you know? And that's, I think, the vision and the intention that we don't see every day in government. I think that a lot of times the everyday demands are so much that we don't take a view from 30,000 feet. We're just in the nitty-gritty. We're just in the trenches. I have no criticism of our previous leaders. It's a tough job, right? But it's why I think I can fill a void, because it's where I've been spending my time. It is about engagement. It's about creative solutions. It's about bringing people to the table. It's about having a transparent and welcoming and visionary view of the future of Buffalo. And then standing up with a bullhorn and inviting people from outside to come here. You know, so many people, young people that came here and started ideas came from outside. I can tell you stories of people in 2008, 9, 10, people that would just land here for what they thought would be a weekend and ended up staying and starting efforts themselves, buying property, fixing up houses, you know? And those are the type of inspiring stories, you know, that invite people to be part, just like they invited me back in 2005. And I think that's where we need to bring our focus and our attention.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And we're going to take one more break. This is What's Next. We are talking with Michael Gaynor, who is running for the mayor of the city of Buffalo.
We at Buffalo Toronto Public Media take pride in bringing you your favorite national programs like Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Morning Edition. But what makes WBFO so special are its local programs, learning together about how government works in bite-sized pieces on Compact Civics with host Corey McCamps.
Here's a quick guide on polling locations. A polling place is where you cast your ballot during elections. In America, the term polling place refers to the building, while polling station refers to the specific room or area where voting happens.
And diving into pop culture and local happenings on Group Chat with host Bentley and a revolving panel of friends in the know.
I really miss having to actually wait to tune in for a show and be there at the certain time. Like having to run home and like turn on the TV at a certain time to like watch your show.
Yeah. Like more national unity than you.
Yes.
Like we were all tuned in.
Everybody is watching at the same time and you can like call and
ever
say,
since
did you
streaming
see what
it's just gone downhill.
This is Public Media.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, we're committed to serving our entire community. Whether you're listening to investigative journalism on WBFO, enjoying world-class performances on WNED Classical, discovering new local artists on WBFO The Bridge, or immersing yourself in mysteries on WNED PBS. Public Media has something for everyone. Explore programs that matter to you at WNED.org. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And this is What's Next. My name is Akua Menzedu, and I'm here with Ryan Zunner, and we are talking to Michael Gaynor, who is running for the mayor of the city of Buffalo. Yeah. Ryan, you said you wanted to ask a question.
Yeah. So, you know, you've talked about your involvement in the East Side Parkways Coalition, and it seems like so much of the things that, you know, you've taken up have been because of just talking to your neighbors and people within your community. And, you know, as living on the East Side, you got involved in that East Side Parkways Coalition, which, you know, was you know, designed, you know, one, to obviously restore the parkway, but number two, when the state came in with their plan to put the tunnel in, you know, there was obviously that opposition, which the parkways, at least for now, you know, needs now a environmental impact statement from the state for them to proceed with that. I wonder, you know, what is it about that project and that goal that really hammers home for you that sense of government paying attention to the community?
Yeah. It's a big one for me, I'll tell you. This expressway project has been very eye-opening for me. It has exposed some of the challenges with just getting stuff done. You know, I empathize with the community of folks that, you know, worked on this previous to me. I made several contacts with members of Restore Our Community Coalition before even committing to this project because I needed to understand the history. You know, I was very reluctant as a community organizer myself to enter into a effort that could be perceived as undermining the work of people that came before me. And, you know, I spoke to one of the members of ROC, and their response to me was, the expressway is killing people. It's killing our community. And I said, but why are we here now? Like, why are we at this point where we're embracing this solution? Because this does not change the reality on the ground. Like, we're still going to have cars running through a high-density urban environment. And her response to me was, well, we didn't have an army then. You know, what she said was, we needed an army in 2014 and we didn't have an army. And I said, but we have an army now. Like, and we have an opportunity to change this and influence this project now. And that was enough for me. What that conveyed to me was that there was a compromise made in the interest of getting something done, anything done. And trust me, as a 20-year resident of the East Side, I can empathize with that desire. I can empathize with just the desire to see anything happen, just build anything, just train anyone, just create any business. We don't care, as long as something is happening. But the reason why I'm unwavering and why I've been so determined with this project is because this project will leave its footprint on our community for the next 50 to 100 years. And I don't want to answer the question, you know, of my daughter, why are we still dealing with the realities of this expressway in the middle of our community? It devastated a community. It devastated the economy of the East Side. It has devastated the infrastructure. It has affected to the negative the health of our communities. And it's just unacceptable in one of the best designed cities in the world. You know, we think about, well, where is the traffic going to go? We've seen the traffic data. We've analyzed the traffic data. And overwhelmingly, the data says that our traffic grid, while it won't be perfect in a couple different spots, can more than handle the capacity today. Okay? So let's reinvest in those commercial corridors. I don't want cars in neighborhoods, but I do want cars on our commercial corridors. I want them where they can stimulate economic activity, where they can attract business investment, where they can attract transit-oriented development, where we can start to build communities around people and around places again. I want to see that investment. I don't want the fast track out of the city. You'll still be able to get anywhere in the city, all right? Just tack on 2 or 3 minutes, because we have technology now that we didn't have 10 years ago or 5 years ago even. We have, you know, light technology that can sense when there's cars approaching, that can still move cars efficiently through our streets. You drive down any of the radial streets, Genesee, Sycamore, Walden, Kensington, Broadway. We have a brilliantly designed city. The state is investing on these radial corridors. They are investing in stabilizing businesses. But the question is, what are we stabilizing if we don't have the economic vitality to support that infrastructure? We need to combine our efforts and our investments and our vision for the future of Buffalo. They need to all be in one plan. You know, we can't just say, well, we're going to build a tunnel because we need to move people from point A to point B. We can do that in multiple ways and get all of these added benefits. I don't want to spend $12 to $15 million maintaining a tunnel. I don't want to deal with the environmental mitigation measures to keep people safe. I don't want to address the realities of cancer clusters on my east side neighborhoods. And you can see that in Roswell Park's data. You can see that in the DOT's own data. You can see that in the EPA's environmental justice tool data. This community is not healthy, and it's directly related to this expressway. It's directly related to toxic sites that are all throughout the east side. And we have to think big picture and long term about how to improve the health of our neighborhoods and improve the vitality of our city. That will be something that will attract business. That will be something that will attract ideas. We have this great competition, 43 North competition, that brings people from all over the world to flex their entrepreneurial muscle, right? Let's invite entrepreneurs to flex their power to solve problems as it relates to transportation, as it relates to housing. You know, one of my favorite university programs is Rural Studio in rural Alabama, where they're leveraging their university structure to solve housing issues. Like, that's the type of coordination. This isn't pie in the sky stuff. This is nuts and bolts, bread and butter, simple coordination that when you have a vision and you have a leader and you have people that are all working together, we can do amazing things. The Kensington Expressway is going to be our legacy for the future. If we remove it and we restore an Olmsted landscape treasure, think about the tourism that that will attract. I think about horse and buggy rides from MLK Park. You know, you take a little dip with your kids in the splash pad and you get on a horse and buggy and you ride through the entire Olmsted Park system, right? And you're immersed in 50 to 100-year-old trees in green space. And our kids can ride their bikes on green space that's been, you know, recreated and restored to what it once was. That is the potential of doing this. But you have to have the will. And there's not an elected official right now in government that is standing with the community. This is not just my effort. You know, there were 60 plaintiffs in that lawsuit, 60 plaintiffs from the Humboldt Parkway and adjacent streets that signed on to that lawsuit, 60 organizations that now support this call, 110 member organizations of the Partnership for Public Good that made restoration of the Humboldt Parkway their number one policy priority. That is when, as a leader, you need to say, there is a movement here. There is power in our community to do something influential, to do something long-term, to do something that will make a statement that we care for Buffalo and its long-term future. We need to seize this opportunity and make this happen. And then it will show the world and it will show the residents that Buffalo believes in its people. It believes in its communities. It believes in a brighter future. You don't just do that by plowing the streets. You do it by fulfilling a vision, by restoring hope, by giving people a belief that we can be a world-class city that embraces its history, it embraces its current culture, and that learns from its mistakes.
And so we got about 2 minutes left, and last question, why should Buffalo residents vote for you?
Well, I'll tell you, they're going to vote for me because I say what I'm going to do and I do it. I roll up my sleeves. I go out there and I clear sidewalks. I plant trees. I start businesses. I mentor youth. And I bring people to the table to do cool things. And that's what we need. We need a problem solver. We need somebody that can be strategic with the numbers, but that is also courageous enough to make a hard decision when it needs to be made. And I have done that. I've been in business for now for 20 years in the city of Buffalo. And it's tough. It's tough to run a business And the city of Buffalo is a business in many regards. You need to balance the budget at the end of the day. You need to make sure everybody gets paid. But it's also a service. It's a service because we have the ultimate responsibility to care for all of the people that live here. And I am a Libra. So I have the pragmatism of being able to balance a budget, understand numbers, and get things done. But I have the care of believing infinitely in our capacity, in our hope, in our potential, and in the passion of the people that are doing the work every day on the streets. And that's, you know, that's my yin and yang. That's what you get when you vote for Michael Gaynor. You get someone that has the skills and the wherewithal and the work ethic, but also has the care and the compassion and the sensibility. And that's why I'm determined to see this through, and I invite everybody to participate with me at michaelgaynorformayor.com. Thank
you. Awesome. And we're going to end it there. You know, we were with Michael Gaynor, who's running for the mayor of the city of Buffalo. My name is Aku Amenzedu, and I'm with Ryan Zunner, and this is What's Next.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.